Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Vava Metzia, Daf Mem. We are holding out the Mishnah, which is around 10 lines off the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Hamafgid Peiros Eitzel Chaveroi. So Peiros, once again, refers to any type of produce, wheat, grains, fresh fruit. So in any case, if a person is Mafgid Peiros with his friend, Hareza Yoitziloi Chesroinis. Listen to this. When he returns the product, he will deduct by estimating how much is typically lost, spoiled, eaten by the mice or whatever. So he only gives him back his amount minus that natural loss. Hareza yoytiloi chisreinus. That's what we call chisreinus, the missing portions. He can deduct for losses. And the Mishnah presents a formula, a set formula established by the Chachamim. And this is going to be a certain rate per kur. A kur is 30 sa. And it's an annual rate of sort of depreciation, right? So it's like a deterioration rate for all these things. And each one has its own separate formula. For instance, lachitim loiris. You gave him wheat. You gave him rice. How much will you deduct per year? Tisha chatzoi kabin lekur. Per kur, you take off 9 half kav. So it's basically 4.5 kav. L'sa'er v'l'doichan, barley and doichan, some say is millet. Tisha kabin lekur. There, you lose more. 9 kav per kur, per year. L'kus min uzer pishtan, for spelt and flax seeds. Shalosh in lekur, 3 sa'ah, is deducted per kur per year. Hakor lefni amida, so it's all according to the quantity. Basically, this is a per kur quantity, a rate. Vakor lefni azman, and according to the duration, meaning it's an annual rate of a depreciation. Amar bichman nuri, I don't understand. V'chi ma ichpas lohen lachbarim. You say it's per kur, right? This accounts for losses resulting from mice, right? The mice tend to eat a certain amount. To them, it makes no difference whether the storeroom is half full or full or fully full. V'chi ma ichpas lehen lachbarn. What do the mice care how much stuff you have? V'aloi oichleis bein mei harbe bein mei kima. They eat the same amount, whether you have a small storeroom or a large storeroom. Rather, says Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri, we don't go per kur, right? Because it's a standard rate of loss, whether you have a lot or a little, right? Ela einoi yaitzi, or lo yaitzi, lo yichisroinis, ela lekur echad belvad. Rather, you only deduct a one kur loss. So 9.5 kavs, or all that. It's a one-time number. And it's applied to the full amount, irrespective of how much it is. If he deposited a large amount, large quantity, in that case, you don't get any deductions. Why? Because it's going to expand and grow. We'll see in the Gemara how this works. And that compensates for any losses. Asks the Gemara Oires, right? The rate for rice was 9.5 kav, so basically 4.5 kav. Oires tuva chaser. Typically, you lose more than just that amount. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Biechon Boiris Kol of Shana, was speaking about peeled, shelled, right? So here, apparently, the mice are not so interested and they eat much less. Lukusman ul Zera Pishtan, Gimel Sa'ar in Lukur. Amar Biechon Rabbechia, Zera Pishtan, Begivaylin Shanu. The reason why you lose so much of the Pishtan is because we're speaking that the seeds are within the stalks, and Rashi explains that it tends to dry up and shed, so you're going to end up losing a lot throughout, you know, the duration of this time. Tani Nami Hachi, we find the same explanation in the Braisa. Lukusim Nozer Pishtan Bigiv Oilim, so we stress that it's within the stalk. And now the Braisa adds another point. Unpeeled rice, which is different than the Mishnah's case. In all these, we say Shloisha Se'in is the loss per kur lekur. Hakol fi amida tana. What do you mean it's all according to quantity? It means it's a rate per kur, Tana. Kein nechal kur v'kur. And also, it's an annual rate. V'chein nechal shana v'shana. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, how could quantity affect the rate of loss? Tanya. So Chacham responded, Amar Loi, l'Rabbi Yochanan. Well, there are other factors, other reasons for depreciation. Not only the mice. You're right. Your point pertains to mice. But Harbe Oidois Mehen, much is lost by the wayside. Harbe Mespazrus Mehen, a lot, you know, gets dispersed. Right? So basically, the more you have, the larger the loss. It's a percentage per amount. Tana, we learned it at Bryce. Why do we even have to deduct all this? Look, you took a pound of wheat, give him back whatever you have. Right? It's his stuff. You don't have to go calculate anything. The answer is like this. Tana b'medav amrum. When does the Mishnah apply all these rates of depreciation? When the original volume is no longer discernible. She'irvan imperoisa, because he mixed it together. The fellow took his friend's produce and mixed it with his own. So now we have no idea how much is his, how much is mine. Aval yichad lekeren zavas. But let's say he designated, you put your stuff in the corner. So when the time comes, you just give it back to him as is, with no need to calculate or deduct. Here's your item, take it back. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But let's say he did mix it with his own stuff. Who cares? Make a simple reckoning. Look, I had a pile of wheat in that corner. I had a pound of wheat in that corner. I added your pound. Right? So basically we know 50% is yours, 50 mine. Who cares? Right? We don't have to go calculate. We must stop it, man. We're speaking that I'm using it. I'm supplying myself from that pile. So now we have no idea. V'lechsi kamami stopik. What do you mean? Figure out how much you took and deduct that relative to the proportional amounts. D'layandi kamami stopik. He has no idea how much he took. So now we're sort of in limbo. We have no idea. All we know is that you got a certain amount and the Mishnah dictates towards how much he has to return. Rabbi Da'imim Haisa. If he got a large amount, then it accounts for any losses. It compensates for any losses. Kama midu merubu. What does that mean, midu merubu? What size quantity are we speaking? Omer Rabba, Bar Bachana, Omer Biyachan, Asura Kurin, 10 Kurin. Tani Nami Hochi, find the same in the Braisa. Kama midu merubu, what constitutes a large amount? Asura Kurin. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman. So a Chacham presented a Braisa to Rav Nachman, an explanation of Rabida's idea. But Me'ad Vam Amurim, when does Rabida say the Shomer cannot deduct anything? Shemodad loy mitach garnay. Ve'achse loy mitach garnay. So the Gemara at this point figures. You know, Rashi explains that in the homes, the household measuring utensils were tended to be generally smaller, a little bit smaller in size than the farm measuring devices. So the point here is that if you use the same measuring devices, he deposited his wheat, let's say, using the measuring utensils that they employ in the garden, out in the granary, and he gave it back to him using the same measuring containers. So now we know that there's no fluctuation, and he's entitled to deduct, according to the formula of the Mishnah. But suppose when the owner delivered his items back way back when, he used the Geirin measures. But then when he retrieved his produce, the Shemer returned to him using local household smaller sized utensils. So then he's getting back less. By default, he's getting back less than he gave. So then, Einoi Moiti Lechas Roinois Ibn Shemoi Siris. So in this case, there's no reason to deduct anything because you're already giving him less than he gave you, which accounts for that loss, for that depreciation. Right? Because you're giving him back using a smaller measuring cup. Because the ones out in the granary are bigger. And now he's getting less. So that accounts for any depreciation. Amar Rav Nachman responded to this Chacham who presented this formula. V'chibush of Tanya Skinna, we're speaking about people that are deranged, are not, you know, paying attention. Why would a person use this type of measuring cup when he deposits it and a different one when he picks it up, right? The Yavi Bekaila Rabba, they deliver it using a large utensil. V'shakli Bekaila Zuta, and they take it back with a smaller one. That wouldn't make any. That must not be the pshat in the mission. That's not the case. Rather, Dilma B'meisa Chamakamas. Perhaps you mean like this. It's a question of seasons. And the Braisa meant like this. When do we say that you're entitled to deduct as per the Mishnah's, you know, depreciation formulas? Shemotad lebi maisagurin, vehechsel lebi maisagurin. That when he gave it to him during the Goyren, meaning when is the, you know, the farming season, during the harvesting season, the summer, and he got it back in similar fashion during summertime, maybe 5 years later, but during summertime. Yes, with Mesa Goyren. So pretty much his wheat is in the same state, the same, you know, level of moisture in the wheat, etc. So it's pretty much an equal trade. And now, as we explained, the farmer has a right to deduct as per the Mishnah formula to account for depreciations. But suppose he delivered it during summertime, when the wheat isn't that moist. It tends to be more like shriveled. And he gets it back during wintertime, when it's wet and moist and more plump. So now, so now the farmer cannot, the shomer cannot deduct anything. You know why? Because it's really an illusion. He's not really giving him back the same amount. Because they expand during winter time. So he's really giving him back technically less. So even though it looks like it's a pound per pound, but today's pound is really less than a pound because it has to account for the expansion and the moisture. So automatically you have already deducted as per the Mishnah. And Tesis explains that Rabbi Yehuda, when he says Amida Meruba accounts for any chesroinus, you mean the expansion of Amida Meruba covers the chesroinus, the Tesis says it covers the chesaron of one kur. So basically, if you were dealing with a large amount of 10 kur, and you took it during the summer and returned it during the winter, so that, you know, expansion factor accounts for the rate of loss of a kur, right? But let's say we're dealing with, you know, instead of 10 kur, it was only 8 kur, 7 kur, so of course it has to be in proportion and, you know, according to the, right? So you got to calculate how that works. If that's so, that during the winter time the grains expand, so, you know, why doesn't the pitcher, the container, or containing the grain just burst because of that pressure? And in fact, says the Gemara, in fact, it was such a story that the container burst. Same, another pshat, why sometimes it doesn't, because it's so squished in, so it doesn't allow for expansion. Just as we have this deduction policy regarding grain, and so it applies to wine and oil as well. So if I took your wine and put it into my barrels, I give it back to you, I can account for, I can deduct a sixth, which is standard rate of loss due to the wine's absorption into my containers. Rabbi Mechaimish, only a fifth is deducted. Why? The Gemara will explain. Regarding oil, there we have, you know, absorption as well. Yetzilei shleisha lugin shemen, shleisha lugin shemen lameya lug. Let's say I received 100 lug from you, and I give it back, it's 97. Why? Why do I lose? Why do you lose 3? Lug mechza shmar, lug mechza bela. So 1.5 is bela for the absorption, and 1.5 lug, which turned into lees, into shmarin, you know, which, you know, settled to the bottom of the barrel. So ultimately, I can deduct that because that was part of your, it was mixed into your oil when you gave it to me. Okay? Now, let's say it was purified oil without any shmarim. So you can't deduct for the shmarim because he didn't give you shmarim. Likewise, if the barrels that I put your oil into were old, you know, fully saturated barrels, I don't have the absorption factor. Likewise, if somebody has a contract to sell oil, kol yemei hashana. And it turns out that, you know, you give it to him bit by bit, so by the time he gets it, the shmarim, the leaves, the residue had already settled to the bottom. So now the buyer can insist that the seller gives him, you know, 100% pure oil, because part of that oil that he purchased way back at the beginning of the contract had residue in it. He has to allow the seller to deduct for that. As we said, it's 1.5 lug per 100. So in the beginning of the Mishnah, we said the nifka, the shomer, can deduct a sixth of the wine or a fifth of the wine. Pligid machlekes is not really a fact, you know, conceptual machlek. It's just a practical issue. Marki asrei, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda are respectively speaking about their locale, which means basri de mar chafa bekira. V'lai ma'itz tvei. In the Tanakama's locale, they would smear the inside of the barrels with kira, with wax, which made it less absorbent, and it didn't, it did not really absorb that much, so you can only deduct a lesser amount, basri demar, whereas in Rebida's location, chafa bekufra, they would smear the innards of their barrels with tar, umayit tvei, which would absorb more, hence the larger, greater depreciation rate, absorption rate. Ibai Yisem, another reasons for this discrepancy, which pertains to the material of, which was used to make the barrel. Mishum gargishta, the material used to make the barrel, the earth, whatever, in the Tanakama's area, it did not really absorb that much, whereas in Rabbi Yehuda's place it did. Says the Mishnah, there was a story regarding Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'asri Rabbi Yehuda ramu arboim betam nikuzi bedam. Rabbi Yehuda, apparently, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda was a chenveni, a grocer who would sell wine. So in his place, ramu arboim v'tamni kuzi. Kuzi is a small container. So 48 of those would fill up a barrel, bedam. Okay, so a barrel contains 48, you know, like quarts, let's say, right? Liters. Ozal dana b'shita zuzi. Now during the, crush season, when they would produce the wine, so a barrel would sell for 6 zuz. A full barrel, which contains 48 of these liters, is worth 6 zuz. Now, Rav Yehuda took it to his place and sold it at retail, right? Parash Rav Yehuda shita bezuza. So he would sell this this dana, this barrel, using the following rate. 6 kuza per zuz. Shita bezuza. Okay? So wholesale, he got it for the entire barrel. And now he's selling, so 6 zuz per barrel. Now he's selling a barrel which contains 48 kuza, 6 kuza per zuz. Okay, so how much did he make on it? Dalt losen v'shita v'shita. So basically, let's first deduct his expense, right? The expenses were 6. So that accounts for 36 kuza, because 6 kuza was sold for a zuz. So in order to get back your expenses, you have to sell 36. Dalt losa mishita b'shita. So the first 36 was simply the account for the 6 zuz that he paid for. Poshul treisa. He's left with 12 more out of the 48. That's like sort of for profit, right? Dalt tmanya shtusit. First of all, he's losing a 6 because of the absorption process. So that takes care of 8 out of 48. He's left with merely 4 liters for profit, pashlabo, which is really a very small profit margin. Vamar shmo, shmo tells us you can earn more. Even when we speak about livelihood related items, hamistaker, the person who's in the business, al yistaker yesal shtus, he shouldn't be making more than a sixth when speaking about things which are, you know, vitally needed. Rashi says, dvarim sheyesh bem chayei nefesh. Vital, you know, ingredients like wine, apparently was a very important. So, not more than a 6, but you should make a 6. Why do you only make 4 zuz per 48? Truth is, he made more because he had the containers that he kept. He had the residue, which, you know, somehow is resold. Okay, so in that case, he flipped it around. He's making more than a 6th. But there are other factors to consider. What about his efforts, his time, his tircha, and the money it takes to advertise, advertising expenses? Okay, so if it's refined oil that you got as a pikkaton, you can't deduct anything for the leaves, because there is no residue to speak of. So, and the Mishnah continues, right? But if it's oil barrels, which you put your friend's oil into, you can't account for absorption. But it's impossible. There is no absorption at all. Yeah, we're speaking about fully smeared, tarred, waterproof barrels, no absorption at all. Even if it's not really fully tarred, given the ton, once it's absorbed, it's fully saturated, it's not going to accept anymore. So bottom line, now we're going to the commercial side of things, right? So you have a contract to forward, 100 lug of shemen to this fellow, bit by bit throughout the year. So the buyer has to be reasonable. He has to allow the seller. He has to allow for a lug and a half of shemarim per 100. Right? So basically, if he wants refined oil, you have to be aware of the fact that your barrel that had 100 originally had a lug and a half of shemarim. You don't want the shemarim was in there. You don't have to accept it, but don't ask for 100 lug of pure oil. Be ready to accept 98.5. Whereas Chachamim seem to disagree. He has a right to accept a full 100 lug of pure oil. Why? What's the machlekes about? Amar Abayik, Shetim said Leimar. When you analyze their opinions, you conclude as follows. This is the explanation to the machlekes. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based on Mutar La'arev Shmarim, that when a person sells oil without specifying whether it's going to have Shmarim or not, right? And right, and eventually the shmarim, the residue, sinks to the bottom. You're allowed to mix it back in. It's part and parcel of the oil experience. You're allowed to mix the shmarim back in. You don't have to. Given pure oil. Mutalara shmarim. And therefore, this seller has full right to remix the shmarim. Now, if you want oil without shmarim, you have to allow for that. You have to deduct for that. Can expect a full 100 lug of pure oil. Whereas the Divrei Chachamim, their opinion is also la'arev shmarim. No, you can't. The fact is, when you buy oil without specifying, it's pure oil. So therefore, the owner has no right to remix the residue that already sunk to the bottom. And therefore, the buyer doesn't have to account for that. Doesn't have to deduct for that. Doesn't have to absorb that loss. And the Gemara explains, according to Rabbi's opinion, mutal arav shmarim. The seller has a right to remix the shmarim into the oil. Behind the time of the makabel, that explains why the buyer has to absorb that loss. The amrla iboy la rubelach miloy arvelach. The seller can tell the buyer, look, if I would want to mix it back in, wouldn't I be able to do it? Of course I could. Hashtanah makabel. Now you don't want the shmarim. Fine, I'm not forcing it on you, but be ready to deduct for that. Asks the Gemara, v'leim alei. Why can't the buyer respond to the seller? That's not an argument. Iarvelach. Sure, if you would have mixed it in, have him as davening, I would have sold it as one. I would not have experienced any loss because my buyer would just buy it with the residue inside, and that would sort of inflate the volume, right? What should I do now? It's separate. I can't just take your residue and sell it. On its own, you can't sell residue. If it's mixed in, it goes together, but now it's too late. Answer is, the buyer is not a retailer, he's not a dealer. He's a homeowner for domestic use. He's more than happy to have pure, purified oil. So he can't argue, well, you should have mixed it in. Because actually, he prefers it this way. Well, he has another argument. You can tell the seller, obviously, the fact is you didn't mix it in, right? So the fact that you didn't mix it indicates that you're a meichel. You're not going to deduct for the residue. Achuli achosli. So why can't he claim that you're a meichel? Answer is, Rida follows his shita elsewhere. The last name mechila, he holds that unless you actually specify mechila, we don't just assume mechila due to circumstance. We don't do that. That's not. As we find in a similar case, mochalei etzat semet. Suppose this fellow is selling, a farmer selling a pair of oxen. He sold them the tzemet. He says, take the tzemet. Tzemet is the oil the hitch, the yoke, which sits on the oxen, and you know, and pairs them together. So he sells them the tzemet. We don't assume that the oxen came along. A tzemet is a tzemet, not bakar. Mochel is a bakar, le mochel is a tzemet. He specified, I'm selling the animals. It doesn't mean that the tzemet is included in the sale. Rabbi Daimah Adam Medin. Take a look at the price. That will indicate what's included. Ketzef, for instance. Amar le mochel le tzemet chab masayim zuz. He approached the farmer, sell me the hitch for 200 zuz. Now, Hadamar Yidua, everybody knows, that's overpriced just for a hitch. Of course, it includes the animals. Shein at tzemet masayim zuz. Right? Of course, it included the animals. And we don't say he's being meichel, right? So explain that he's being meichel. Otherwise, it's included. The price doesn't say anything because maybe, you know, he just, the buyer was desperate. He just, you know, threw it in. He was meichel, the extra money. Okay, so that was the answer to the question. You can't say mechila on Rabbi Yehuda because he doesn't hold of mechila less. It was clearly specified. So we explained Rabbi Yehuda. Now, l'divrei chachamim, according to the chachamim's opinion, in our Mishnah, asul arer shmarim. A seller is not allowed to remix the residue into the oil. Vayna time le'mekabel. That explains why the buyer doesn't have to accept that loss. Damali, because you can tell the seller, ibayis l'ruvim yavashari lach. Even if you would have wanted to mix it back in, would you have been allowed to do that? Of course not. Hashtanam le'kabelos. Now I'm not accepting that loss. So that's Abayi's presentation. Amalei Rabbi Abayi, Rabbi Abayi responded, Adon Rabbi Ivchem Istaver, if anything, go the other way around. I want to switch around this explanation. If anything, L'divrei Chachamim, according to Chachamim, in the Mishnah, Mutal Arar Shmar, one is allowed to remix the residue before he sells, V'ayna time L'mekavol. That explains why in this case, the buyer is not accepting the loss. The Amalei, because you can tell the seller, Midlei Arbusli, the fact is you, for some reason, did not mix them back in. That indicated that you're meichel. You're not planning on charging for that. You could have. Why didn't you? Apparently, you're not interested in charge. No, just the opposite. You're not allowed to remix it. That explains why the buyer has to accept it as part of the deal. Because the seller can tell the buyer. If I would have wanted to mix it, and I couldn't, it wasn't a choice, it wasn't an option. So now I'm stuck with residue. Kibuli la mekabel. You're not going to accept it on your account. So basically, I'm not going to be making much on this deal because I'm going to have to suffer that loss. So this is an expression, zoven, when a person buys for $10 with zoven and sells it for the same amount. Tagar ikri, that's called a merchant. It's wasting time. So basically, it's not fair if I have to absorb that loss. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in a brayse, echad halakeach. We compare a buyer, v'echad ha-mafket, to a mafket who deposits his oil by his friend, l'pukatim. So they're equal when it comes to pukatim. Rashi says pukatim are the rough material, raw, you know, waste, like pits and whatever, floating on the oil. Now, what does this mean? That the lekeach and the mafkin are in the same boat pertaining to this factor, the pkatim factor. My lepkatim, what does that mean? Ilema, shall we say that it means like this, keach lekeach lemekabel pkatim, just like a customer doesn't have to be willing to accept these pits and whatever in his oil. Mafkin nami lemekabel pkatim, so the mafkin as well doesn't have to take back his pkatim. What do you mean? It's his pkatim. So the shemer can tell the mafkin, it's you're the owner, this is your oil, take back everything. What does it do with your pits? It's your thing, it's your material. So apparently that's not the pshat. Rather, the correct pshat is like this. Just like the owner of the oil, when he comes to retrieve his oil, of course, it comes along with whatever was in there. Skins and pits. Likewise, a customer will have to take delivery of the pekatim as well, in his oil. So Rashi says, if he bought shemen stam without specifying, it comes along with all this, all these trimmings. Really? Umi mekabel lekech pekatim. Does a customer have to accept these things? V'atanya b'da'imer lo'yomru shemen ocher, elo mechibel vad. the only one that loses, the only one that has to absorb this muddled oil situation, is the moichar, the seller. Sharei lekeach mekabel olav lugmech tzeshmar b'leikotim, because the customer already deducted from his amount. We said he's meant to deduct 1.5 log per hundred for the residue and everything else. So bottom line is, you can't double charge him for that. Right? He already accepted all these impurities upon himself. He deducted for that. So the moichar has to give him pure oil. Loikash answers like this. Sometimes a customer will absorb that loss, sometimes not. Hadi Ovle Zuzi Batishri, because Shaka Minibin Nisim committed the Tishri. Tishri was when they processed oil. Nisan was the beginning of the selling season, right? So in the case where he paid for it during Tishrei, which was at a discount, right? Because it was like a pre-season sale. The oil is used at Tishrei because Shokam in Nisan, and he's taking delivery during Nisan time. Kimida the Tishrei, on Tishrei's rate. Now during Tishrei, Rashi explains, Stam Shemen, typically oil is muddled, it's full of residue and all that, right? So now the Lekeach accepted that as part of his deal. It was a wholesale deal. The way it is, as is, right? So there we say the Lekeach accepts that. Oh, but let's say he paid at the higher rate, at the opening of the selling season, during Nisan time. He's taking delivery during Nisan, based on the Nisan rate. Here he wants high quality oil. Rashi says, typically, the shemen during Nisan time is mezukuk. So here, he doesn't have to discount the seller for these pekat. He doesn't have to accept impure oil. Okay, so we had one Mishnah, which discussed the rate of deterioration per kor, per year, per type of produce. We had Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's argument, claim regarding the Achbarim, the Rabbanim responded, Rabbi Yehuda's Chiddush with the seasons. We had the rate of depreciation regarding the the oil and the wine, regarding absorption and residues, and we had a whole discussion regarding the amount that the buyer would have to be willing to deduct from his total to account for shmarim. We had Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and the Rabbanim's opinion. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.